I remember I felt really guilty and really down when I left the priesthood to marry Bobby and to take on responsibility for Katie. Especially after my meeting with the bishop, in which basically he called me a public sinner, a source of scandal, and made me feel about yay big. And he commanded me that as I left my parish at Sacred Heart in Bethlehem, that I wasn't even allowed to tell the people that that Saturday or that Sunday I said Mass, and after Mass was over, I left. However, I was also sacramental minister at St. Joseph Parish in Plymouth. And when I told the sister who was there, Sister Phyllis, what the bishop has said, she said, well, we're not going to have any of that. So basically, they had a going away celebration for me after my last Mass and wished me well and good luck and thanked me for all that I had done. And it made me feel good. But yet, you know, there was still that guilt, still feeling of me as a sinner that the bishop had talked about. And it just so happened that, you know, I left in the end of May, and at the end of June, that there was a convention in Columbus of a group called Corpus. Corpus basically stands Corps of Resigned Priests United for Service. And we thought about going the year before, but we decided not, but Bobby sort of dragged me there. And as we went there, and not only listened to the talks, but got to meet some of the priests who had left to marry, heard their stories, and celebrated and shared with them, it really was a turning point for me. It was a real eye-opener. Because, you know, when I went, I saw how much love that these men and the women that they married, some of them who were former sisters or nuns, their love for God, their love for Jesus, and their love for the church, despite the church sort of having kicked them out and sent them on their way. And I listened and, you know, heard the stories. A lot of them were involved, you know, in works of counseling, of working with the downtrodden, with those, with the poor. And the thing was, I saw, you know, that the love that these men and women had for God, and they shared it by the way in which they treated their brothers and sisters, especially as Jesus would have told us, the least among us, our brothers and sisters. And as that, I started looking at my life. My life, you know, from the point of priesthood. And I came to realize is that all of my life after my priesthood has been involved with some sort of service. Not only in taking care of my daughter, Katie, and not only washing her hands and feet, but giving her a bath twice a week for almost 25 years. But also, you know, I got jobs working with the developmentally disabled. As a case manager, a program specialist down in Marion. And when, you know, that sort of didn't work out, you know, I began working with individuals in homes, people on welfare, people who had very little money, sort of becoming a personal caregiver. And we know, we look at Randy's trip, You know, and after he left, he got involved with, you know, with into the, what I'm going to call the cleansing of the mind. Like so many of brother priests, and I've always really sort of admired them, to be able to go in and to advance on their counseling skills, to be able to go and to work to help with those with this addiction with to drugs, to alcohol, whether it's willing with dealing with women who have been abused and need a place. But of sitting there and not only washing these people's hands and feet, but of also sort of washing their minds. And like I've said, I've always admired, and I admire Randy for all the work he's done, for all, you know, the lives that he has touched, for all the people he has helped. Probably many of them who were never Christian, who never accepted Jesus, but that didn't matter. And I'm sure he can give you a lot of failures as well as successes. But the thing was, in love, he went out and he worked for service. And myself, you know, my service wasn't so much in the counseling area, but mine was more sort of on the hands-on. You know, basically going out and washing hands and feet, providing people and finding them with opportunities. And even though I'm doing that right now today, I sit there and I drive individuals who've lost their license temporarily, permanently, who basically are medically capped, to doctor's appointments. I talk to them. And every day I pray, may I somehow bring the love of God and love of Jesus into their life. May I touch them somehow. Because, you know, that's what this is sort of all about. It's, you know, it's Holy Thursday is about bringing the love, the gentle touch, the washing of the hands and feet of Jesus that he did at the Last Supper, that he passed his apostles and disciples to do, to the people in the world in which we live, to do through as a church, through the sacrament of the Eucharist, in which we make Jesus, we bring him here present, and he becomes one with us, and we become one with him. That we trace that power of ordination, the power to do that, to bring Jesus into the people, into a very physical and special way, back to that first Holy Thursday, back to this night. But also, as Jesus took on the role of a slave, sort of the least in the household, they were the ones that got the job of when the people came in, it was their job to wash their feet. Nobody wanted to do it. But yet Jesus took on that job to basically show that nothing is beneath our dignity to be able to bring Jesus to others through our love. That filled with the grace and the blessing of our Eucharist, when we leave Mass, when we leave church here today and on Sundays, that filled with that grace that we can go forth and to be of service, to bring God to our family, our friends, to the stranger, to our neighbors, to the world, in which we are willing to serve. And remember, as Peter said, you know, Jesus, you know, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus says, well, if I don't wash your feet, you're not part of me. Well, then wash everything. He says, you don't need it. You just need the feet. And he reminds us is that when we sit there and we go about bringing Christ into the world, into our family, that we need to serve. And if we see somebody else and we say, well, I can't be nice to that person. I can't be loving to that person. I can't help that person. I can't do for that person. Then remember the words of Jesus to Peter, then you're not part of me. How often are we called to serve? As spouses, our husbands and our wives. All the little things that we do. All the ways in which, you know, we sit there and make their life easier, make their life better, that we show our love for them. We show the love of God to them. That we embody the love of God. I used to say at weddings, when the couple and bride, and you would say, does God know you? Do you know that God loves you? To the bride, you should be able to look at the groom and say, yes, I know God loves me because I have him. And to the groom, as he looks upon his bride, yes, I know God's loved me because he has brought us together. And he's given to me a sign of his love for me to take care of, encourage, and to live. As parents, and all that we do for our children, to try to help them to grow and to be loving and to giving and to be spiritual people, which I know sometimes is a real struggle and difficulty. And for your children, you got a whole commandment all to yourself. The fourth one, honor your father and your mother. So it's not all that mom and dad can do for me, but it's how I can serve them. How I can bring the love of God to them. How I can show the love of God for the gift of life they have given to me and God has given to them. And our neighbors, the strangers, our church community. In a moment, we're going to reenact and have an opportunity to either have our hands or our feet washed. And in doing so, after your hands or feet have been washed, you are going to be asked to wash the hands of the person next in line. And in doing so, we are seeing that, you know, God loves us and that we are served, but also it's our role to love, to show the love of God and bring the love by serving others. And let's go forth in our celebration tonight. Thank God for his great love for us and for the apostles. That even though you know that he's going to go to the garden in a little while, when the apostles are going to come, and they're not going to be able to keep awake. They're going to keep falling asleep. And Jesus says, I know things are going to be hard and difficult. As you know, this is going to be hard and difficult in our life. But he's going to be there. He's going to give us the grace, the blessing, and the strength to get through. He's always going to be us in good times and in bad to give us the strength. So let's go forth to celebrate the love of God shown in the Eucharist, the ordination, and in the love and the service of one another as we prepare for a celebration of his death, but most importantly, the celebration of his resurrection. When he frees us from sin, he opens us to new life, to life in heaven, and for all the days, his blessing to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us now prepare for the washing and the hand.